We are in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. And we are going to finish up Luke chapter 10 today. Just a quick recap. A couple of weeks ago, last time we were in Luke, we were looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan, a very well-known passage, well-known parable. And in there, we saw that Jesus takes the second command of loving your neighbor, and he uses the most unexpected person to turn the society's and the culture's expectations of what it means to be a neighbor on its head. So the person, the expert of law, comes to Jesus and asks, what is eternal life? And when Jesus says, what's in the law? You know the law. He says, love God, love your neighbor. And then he says, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable, and he has, this guy gets beat up, and this priest comes through, this Levite comes through, and they see the man, they don't stop, and then the most unexpected person comes by and stops. And that person is a Samaritan. So showing us that the question, the answer to who's a neighbor, the answer is you be a neighbor. Right? So we don't look for the qualifications in others before we love on them, before we show God's love to them. We show love because of who we are. Now we're continuing in that, and we're having the story of Mary and Martha, a very well-known story, and it's in the Gospel of Luke is the only place where this is recorded for us. And it's very interesting because, if we just preach this passage, look at this passage just by itself, we can get, a lot of meaning from it. But when we look at it in the context of where it is in the Bible, there's just a lot more meaning there. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why we go through the Bible verse by verse, is because things are written in context. And if we take things out of context, we miss a lot of what God wants to tell us. So in this story is the continuation of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Right? We still kind of don't know the answer. Well, we haven't really expounded on the answer of how do you get eternal life? And just like Jesus turned the whole notion of what it means to be neighbor on its head with the Good Samaritan, Jesus turns the whole concept of that first part of the answer, love God, right? How do we receive eternal life? We love God and we love our neighbor. Jesus is taking the second part, turning us on its head. Now he's going to go back and take the first part and he's going to flip it around. Okay, so let's read this passage together. It's very short. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to the end. As Jesus and disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." All right, so the context is Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and they come across this town where Mary and Martha live. Right, from the other Gospels, we know they live in Bethany, which is outside of Jerusalem. And so they're traveling, and Martha puts them up. And in the olden times, right, this hospitality thing is big, especially since this great teacher is coming through. And so it would have been a privilege to put Jesus and his disciples up. But, if you've ever had people over your house, it's also a lot of work. And so in, the Eastern cultures especially, when people come and they show hospitality, the hosts spend most of the time not interacting with their guests, but they spend most of the time in the kitchen. In fact, I was watching this one show. It was some cooking show. This guy was going around, sampling the different cuisines of the world, and he landed in, I believe it was someplace in Turkey, and he went to someone's house, so they had this specialty dish, but it was just a husband-wife kind of deal. It wasn't a big restaurant. So he went over to their house, and the husband was entertaining them, and the wife never showed up, because the wife was spending the whole time in the kitchen cooking. He was just cooking the whole time and just bringing dish after dish after dish, and that's what hospitality looks like in the Eastern world, right? That the host family shows hospitality, they show the love for the traveler, for the guests, by just kind of not even seeing them, spending the whole time in the kitchen, slaving away, providing wonderful food, providing wonderful drink, providing wonderful hospitality for their guests. And so Jesus comes through with his disciples, and Martha, who is the oldest sister, we don't know where their brother Lazarus is at this point in time, but it's just Mary and Martha in the story. And Martha invites Jesus and disciples to her house. And so, of course, as the host, well, she's got a lot to do. She's got a lot to prepare. She's got a lot to cook. And so she's in the kitchen cooking, and all the disciples are, hanging out, and Jesus doing what he usually does when he hangs out. He's teaching and talking, and Martha's there, and she's slaving away, and, she kind of looks up from her cooking, and she's like, "Where's my sister?" And if you have a sibling, you kind of know this kind of sense of like, someone else should be here helping me, and they're not doing it. And Luke says, well, Mary is in the other room with Jesus. And Martha gets really upset. And I think we can understand. She's doing what's expected of her. She's doing what she wants to do, to show her love for Jesus. Right? You can't fault her. Everything she's doing in the kitchen, all the slaving away, it's all for Jesus. Her service, her cooking, everything she's doing is because she loves Jesus, and Jesus is in her house, and she wants to give Jesus the best. And so she's cooking, she's preparing. That's her main priority. And in that culture, that would be obvious. That should be your primary concern when a guest comes over. Your primary concern is you take care of them, you show hospitality. But Martha's main concern is not Mary's main concern. And when someone else has a very different main concern, it can be very irritating. Like if you're working on a group project at work or at school, and you've got one idea, and everyone else has a different idea, or someone else has a different idea. So like you're busy working, and someone decides, the thing that's most important is to make sure your project looks good. So that, they're drawing nice graphs, and they're making it pretty, and you're getting annoyed because you're not realizing you're doing any work, and you feel you're doing all the work, and this person is just drawing frillies on the paper. Or if you're out with your friends and you're hungry, so your main thing is, man, we gotta go out to eat. And your friends are like, no, we got to go shopping, or we got to go out to the movies, and you're getting annoyed because I'm hungry, well, let's go. And your main concern and their main concern are different. And so we see what this is leading to. Martha says, look who Martha addresses. Martha doesn't peek her head out and say, Mary, let's go. You should be helping me in the kitchen. She addresses Jesus. It's a very sibling thing to do, right? You don't actually talk to your sibling and tell them what to do. You talk to your parents and tell your siblings what to do. Mom, tell my sister to do this. Dad, tell my brother to do this. And so this is what Martha's doing. She goes in the other room. Jesus, Lord, tell Mary, my sister, to come and help me, to do her job, to take care of what most needs to be taken care of. This is her main concern. And it's what's expected, and it's what, you know, Martha wants to give Jesus. It's how she wants to express her love for Jesus. But yet, something is a little wrong. Her love for Jesus is expressed in their service, but look at how this service is described. Verse 40, Luke calls it distraction. Distraction. Martha's doing what's expected of her, what she wants to do to show her love for Jesus, and yet Luke is saying it's a distraction. And then we see in Jesus' response in verse 41, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. And when you say someone's name twice in the Bible, it's intimate. It's intimate. So like when Jesus talks about the end times and he says that people are going to come saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? Right? That Lord, Lord, that double use of Jesus' name, of the lordship of Jesus, is saying, Jesus, I know you. We're buddies, we're pals. We have this intimate connection. We have this intimate knowledge of each other. And Jesus will say, go away, I don't know you. So Jesus is telling Martha, 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 I know you. I love you. And so the rebuke that Jesus gives is very, very gentle. Very gentle. But he calls what she's doing is worrying and getting upset. Verse 41. Worrying and getting upset. That's so bizarre, because in this culture, in this context, what Martha does is normal. It's expected. It's what she should be doing. And we're not talking, you know, some sexist, like misogynist, like women should be in the kitchen and, you know, not seen, and you know, that's their place. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the host family taking care of their guests. Martha is doing what she should be doing in that culture, right? It's what expected. But Jesus says, this is instead of being a service, instead of this being showing your love to me, this is being a distraction. This is becoming a worry. It's making you upset. That can't be right. How do you show your love for God? Parable of the Good Samaritan, right? We have the question, how do you receive eternal life? You love God and you love your neighbor. Well, what does it mean to love God? How do you express your love for God? Do you do it by showing up to church on Sunday? That's a good thing to do. Going to fellowship? That's a great thing to do. Coming on Friday, coming to Saturday, those are all wonderful things to do. Coming to Bible study, that's great. How do you express your love for God? Martha is expressing her love for God through her service. And part of me, you know, the person who's, you know, kind of as your pastor, wants to say, man, we need more Marthas. We need more people serving. We need more people expressing their love for Jesus by, you know, getting off of their butts and doing something. But Jesus says, no. This has become a distraction for you. It's causing you to be upset and worried. He's slowly turning what it means to love God on its head. Just like he turned loving your neighbor, he turned that around. He's turning around, what does it mean to love God? And he does it with the most unlikely character, Mary. You might not think it's unlikely because, you know, it seems natural because we know the story. This story is so familiar. You know, Mary's just at Jesus' feet and just listening. She's just hanging out, spending time with Jesus. But that is the most unexpected place in this culture that you would ever find Mary. The rabbis had this prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you did not make me a Gentile, that you didn't create me, you know, to be a foreigner. And then later down in the prayer, they would also pray, and I thank you, you did not make me a woman. And even on the synagogues, on Saturdays when they met, right, men would sit on one side and women would sit on the other side, and the rabbis would teach the men. Why? Because the rabbis felt it was a waste to teach women. That maybe they just didn't have the mental capabilities to understand, or whatever the case may be, but that was the culture. And so when you have disciples at Jesus' feet, of course they're all men, but here we have Mary. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his words. Jesus is the most pro-woman, countercultural person that ever existed. And he took not only the, you know, the role of women and turned it on their heads, but he's taking what it means to love God. And he's doing it with the most unexpected person. So he says, Martha, you are worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Right? There's a choice. You could be serving, or you could be listening. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. Mary's chosen what is better. The person that in this culture would never, should never be at a rabbi's feet, listening to a teacher, is there. That's the person sitting at Jesus' feet. Instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing in the culture, in the kitchen, hosting. And she said, Mary has chosen the better thing. Now, first of all, Martha. I mean, we have to wonder, well, what are they going to eat if Martha doesn't cook? Right? If Jesus says, you should be coming here and listening to my words, instead of cooking, what are they going to eat? Where's this hospitality? How are we going to get our needs met if Martha is not going to take care of it all? But then we have to remember what Jesus did with the 5,000. Jesus said, okay, well, disciples, do you find something for these 5,000 people to eat? The disciples like, well, we only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus prays and breaks them and feeds 5,000 people. Martha is doing something that Jesus doesn't really need. It's expected, and it's an outpouring of her love for Jesus, but it's ultimately not needed. Because Jesus can just go into the kitchen and just pass out whatever's there, and everyone will have plenty to eat, and they'll have lots of leftovers. So unnecessary thing is happening in the kitchen, even though it's the expected thing. And what's necessary is happening in the living room, or wherever they were meeting. It would be our living room, where Jesus is. Jesus says, the most important thing is to sit at my feet and listen. listen. That's the most important thing. What comes to your mind when you think, how do I love God? Right, so many things come to mind. The service, there's doing that, and man, if I'm super sold out for Jesus, you know, I'm going to go on the missions field, I'm going to, you know, become a, you know, full-time pastor or whatever, I'm going to work in a, you know, maybe a Christian fellowship at a college, I'm going to do all this stuff, I'm going to, you know, give testimonies, I'm going to go around speaking. Jesus said, that's unnecessary. It's good, not necessary. The only thing we need, the only thing that's necessary, is to listen to Jesus. How do we love God? We listen to Jesus. How does that lead to eternal life? You remember the parable of the sower? Right? Jesus says, there's a farmer, sower, and he's throwing seed out everywhere, and there's different kinds of ground that it falls on. It falls on the path, or on the rocks, or maybe it falls on the shallow ground, and the birds can take it away, you know, it can dry up, it can die, but when it finds the good soil, it takes root, and it produces fruit, a harvest a hundredfold. The point of that parable being, listen. Be that person. If you want to have that harvest that grows into eternal life, you hear the word of God, you grab it, and you don't let go. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. Martha, you're busy serving, you're doing all the stuff, and I get it. You're doing it because of love for me. But your main thing is what is unnecessary. Your main thing should be listening to my words. So he's taking that whole concept of loving God and loving your neighbor, and he's completely flipping it around. We love our neighbor by showing that we are a neighbor, by showing mercy to others. But that doesn't get us eternal life. We show mercy because of who we are. We show mercy because we are following Jesus and we're sitting at his feet and we're listening. So what's your main thing? And what's a distraction? If you're in school, guess what? Your main thing, your main priority is not to study. If you tell your parents that, please tell them the whole thing and not just that I told you not to study. But your main thing is not to study. Your main thing is not to get good grades. Your main thing, your main priority is to listen to Jesus. You do that first. If you're working, your main thing is not going to a job, getting a paycheck, doing your job well. Your main thing is listen to Jesus. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, your main thing is not taking care of your family. It's not taking care of your kids. Not taking care of your spouse. Your main thing, Jesus says, is listening to him. Grabbing that time, sitting at his feet, and listening to Jesus. He says, everything else, if you make anything else your main thing, it's going to be a distraction. A distraction is you should be doing something else, and you're going off somewhere else. Jesus says, keep the main thing. Don't get distracted. Your love for God is expressed this way. Listen to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we confess that we can be distracted by so many things. Lord, we are busy and we are wrapped up in studies and jobs and lots of good things, Bible studies and fellowships and so many other things. And many of these things, Lord, we're doing because we love you. But yet, Lord, let not these things become a distraction. Lord, show us in our lives what is a distraction and what needs to be the main thing. Help us to, as you show us and reveal these things in our lives, help us to make the choice that Mary did. Lord, help us not to worry about all those other things that need to get done. Help us to worry not about all things that we need to serve you and do for you. Lord, let not all those good things become a distraction from what we should be doing. Teach us what it means to be a disciple. Teach us what it means to love you. Let us cherish all the time that we can spend listening to you, sitting at your feet, and being with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.